institutions and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW, Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday morning at the same time on WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. And we want to, again, as usual, thanks to all of our buddies and friends. Thanks to all our buddies and friends who've been writing and calling in. This is an interesting show because of the elections coming up, and with Kamala Harris making an outstanding showing and getting galvanizing a lot of support world all over the country, in fact. We hope that things turn out favorably for those folk who are putting in the work that's being done. As usual, we start with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. The grapevine. Hey, first of all, I lost one of my best friends over 65 years. He passed away. His name was John D. Irby. He and I was facing life, the electric chair. We've been in problems, been in situations fighting the guards, the FBI, and all this kind of stuff. And all the while we've been going through that guy Irby stood right beside me. I spoke at his funeral. Now, what I forgot to say is that John D. Irby made history. I got all the credit for starting the Lawton Inner Voices. We were traveling all around the country, putting on plays and stuff from prison. But the wind beneath our wing was John D. Irby. He didn't want to get on a stage. He didn't want to act. He kept all the pieces together. So to his family and loved ones, this is very seldom we mention folks who passed, because we get calls every day somebody's gone. But this is a special human being, John D. Irby. We miss you, and thank you for helping us to make history and saving a lot of people's lives. Now we get to what we call the grapevine. North Carolina's largest city elects first ex-prisoner to the city council. On December, Tawana Brown became the first ex-prisoner sworn in to serve on the city council of Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. In September 23, the self-described survivor of incarceration won the Democratic primary in the city's District 3, her lifelong home, before going on to win the seat in November. Brown, 52, said her win sent a message to other formerly incarcerated people that what you did is in your past. You can move forward, overcome the adversity, and be somebody successful, whatever your success is. Our hats off to Tawana Brown. Also, we'll be inviting in the near future Mr. Don Scott. He was elected. He was the Speaker of the House of the Virginia House of Commons in Parliament. He was a returning citizen. He came out of prison and did his thing. Now, he's the Speaker of the House in Virginia. A lot of returning citizens are running for office, winning seats all over the country in state and local elections. So this election with Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, we got a role to play. People who've been in prison has a tremendous role. 26 states have allowed us with criminal records to be implemented back, be included in the electoral process all over the country. 26 states allow you to vote when you come out of prison. Only 2 states allow you to vote while you're incarcerated. That's Maine and Vermont. So keep tune in to what we're talking about, because we have a role to play, just as impacted individuals and their families, in the upcoming elections. Secondly, prison gerrymandering undermines our democracy. Counting people where they are incarcerated doing redistricting distorts our system of representative government. Oh, boy, this is something else. For people in prison, this means that the site of their incarceration rather than their home communities, even though in most cases they have no meaningful connection to the area, the policy wrongly suggests that people in prison are at home where they are incarcerated, ignoring that most stays in prison are far shorter than the decade for which the maps will be in effect, and that many states consider incarcerated people legally resident in their home communities for a purpose other than redistricting. Boy, I have a problem with that. While some states reallocate incarcerated individuals to their home communities when making maps, most do not. When states draw districts without reallocating people who are incarcerated, they ignore the reality of the relationship between these individuals and the areas where prisons are located. This practice is known as prison gerrymandering, and it turns inequities in our criminal justice system into representational inequities. Favorable views of the Supreme Court remain near historic lows, following a term in which the Supreme Court made consequential rulings on presidential immunity, government regulations of business and abortion and other issues. The court's public image is little changed from last year. Fewer than half of Americans, 47%, now express a favorable opinion of the court, while about 51% have an unfavorable view, according to a Pew Research survey. The Supreme Court, man, is like everything else. It's full of jiggy boogie. It's jiggy boogie. Deliberate indifference. Court rulings challenge extreme heat conditions in prisons. If it's 103 outside, it may be 107 to 8 inside of your cell, said a man who worked in the fields while in prison in Texas. For the men picking crops on the farm line at Louisiana State Penitentiary, better known as Angola, that means a substantial risk of injury or death, according to a temporary restraining order granted by a federal judge, Brian Jackson, last month. He wrote that prison officials had shown deliberate indifference to the risk for workers. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld most of Jackson's ruling last week, calling it common sense that working for long hours in the summer sun without shade, sufficient rest, or water or adequate protective equipment pose a serious health risk. The rulings are supposed to force the Louisiana Department of Corrections to make changes that improve safety for incarcerated laborers. So far, those changes have amounted to little more than a small pop-up tent for shade and a few tubes of sunscreen, according to reporting this week from The Lens. Advocates fighting for changes that would keep incarcerated workers safe in excessive heat said the effort was so minimal that it borders on bad faith. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Thank you for tuning in to Grapevine. Now we get to our guests. Our topic this morning is status of returning citizens in PG County, Maryland. And our guest is Mr. Michael Williams, director, returning citizen. Returning Citizens Affairs Division, PG County, Maryland. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Mr. Brown, and thank you so much for having me on your show this morning.
And thank you for coming in, man. And Michael Williams is the director of the PG County, Maryland Returning Citizens Affairs Division. In this role, Michael is responsible for coordinating reentry services throughout the county, bringing both public and private entities together to create a reentry ecosystem that best serves the needs of the county's returning citizens. Prior to joining the county government, Michael served as senior manager for justice policy at the Pew Charitable Trust, leading Pew's public safety performance projects, criminal justice reform network, etc. Boy, that's a mouthful, Jack. You've been tied up, ain't you?
I've been busy.
Thank you. Joining us is our distinguished co-host, None other than the dynamic Nikeechi. I'm going to nominate you for Academy Award, Nikeechi.
After you, bro. Hey.
How you doing this morning, Nikeechi?
I'm doing great. How are you and Mertin?
We appreciate you so much, Nikeechi. Thank you for that trip we had up in Martha's Vineyard last
week. Oh, it was fabulous. I'm waiting to get the video out so folks can hear your phenomenal remarks.
I didn't say nothing. I was just combing my hair because I had a new hairbrush. That's all. So our guest is Michael Williams, the director of PG County Citizens Affairs Division. And it brings him on, Michael. In 1994, when Myron Barry came out of prison, we got together the ex-offender returning population in Washington, D.C., and we played a substantial and significant role in getting Myron Barry elected back to the office of mayor. Consequently, he appointed me as a special assistant and gave me the charge to create the Office of Returning Citizens Affairs in D.C., and I ran that office and was the director for the first 5 years. As a result of doing that, your office came in to be nine other governments around the country now saw the need of having representation in the executive branch of government of the returning citizen population. So Myron Barry led the charge in a lot of areas. He led this charge, and it makes me feel good, man, to see that PG County has an Office of Returning Citizen Affairs. And I'm going to say thank you for you being there. How long have you been in that position, Mike?
So I am the inaugural director of the division. We just started in 2022. Wow. And so I am the first director of the office.
Oh, thank you. Boy, you're a new fish.
Yeah. I'm new to the county, but I've been in this business for over 30 years. And so this is my passion. I love this work. I love seeing men and women get in a position where they can transform their lives.
How did you get into this? What made you get into this field, this line of work?
So I spent the majority of my career in the D.C. system. I was a PO. I worked for pretrial services. Towards the end of my career in the government, I just started to really pay attention to some of the inequities in the system and some things. And I just felt like I could make a difference. And so upon my retirement, I went to Pew, where I worked across the country on criminal justice reform initiatives. And then the pandemic struck, and I had the opportunity to come back and take all that I had learned over my 30 plus year career and come back to my county and be able to serve the men and women here. And so this is a long journey for me, and it is something I'm very passionate about.
Question. This office of returning citizens, I'm messing up something here. Yeah, this office of returning citizens, do you see a need for this to be a part of the local government structure all over the country, having representation in the executive branch of the government?
Absolutely. I look at the whole reentry process as a public safety process, right? And so if we give the men and women who are returning home from incarceration the tools that they need in order to be successful, we will absolutely positively impact the recidivism rates, right? We can reduce recidivism by making sure that the men and women who've been impacted by the system, when they come home, they have something to come home to. And so we want them to be able to come home to jobs and good family situations and opportunities so that they don't find themselves back in the situation that led them to incarceration in the first place.
What do you see as the biggest problem facing people coming out of prison on reentry? What do you see as the biggest hurdle?
I think that there are multiple hurdles. One is that oftentimes our brothers and sisters spend that time incarcerated and don't get the skills and the training they need so when they come out, they're ready to hit the ground running. And so oftentimes we find men and women come out and then it's like starting all over. And I think if we could begin, and we've said this, and I talked to the secretary for the Maryland Department of Public Safety and Correctional Service about this all the time. If we can begin the process of reentry on day one when they go in, so by the time they come out, whether it's a 2-year sentence or a 10-year sentence, we give them a significant advantage when they come out to be successful. And so that whole preparation piece is critical.
You know, this is an unusual time to win because of what's going on in the gentrification in Washington, D.C. PG County has become now D.C.'s Ward 9.
Yes.
And every week, 15 to 25 men and women are released. That's like 75 to 100 a month. They're coming back to D.C. and to PG County. And the need of providing immediate services. When I ask the question, what's the number one? And you're right, it's multiple. Housing, unemployment, jobs, acclimation. I deal with guys all the time. One guy did 50 years, and he said he hadn't spoken to a woman in 50 years. And he wanted to be with a woman, but he didn't know what to say. So he walked up to this woman and said, "Hey, lady. Hey, baby, what's your sign?" And she started laughing. Say, where you been at? Right. And it crushed the guy.
Yeah.
So a lot of things you lose when you're going to prison. We know about losing your family, your job, your clothes, and all that kind of stuff. But you lose the ability to communicate with other human beings because you don't communicate in prison with the correctional staff. You respond to what they order and tell you to do. So that ain't communication. That's being you being told. So guys lose them skills of being in communicating. So even though a guy do 30, 40, 50 years come out, they have trouble communicating. They have trouble crossing the street. They have trouble with everything, going to the restroom, sitting at the table, ordering food. And I know that I talked to Calvin Hawkins a few times. I was over there, and I think we ran into him at the leadership. He had a Leadership Matter four-pronged approach to stop the youth violence back in February. And you got some powerful returning citizens in PG County, man, working on it. Eddie Matthews, who worked for Calvin Hawkins, and Dominic Chip Hendry. Yeah. And them guys, have you interacted with those two gentlemen over in PG County?
I interact with them regularly. One of the things, I've worked in the system for a long time, but I can't speak to the needs of those men and women who are coming home. And so I rely on people like Dominic and Eddie Matthews to kind of guide the way. In fact, we've established a reentry advisory council here in the county that's made up of returning citizens as well as service providers to kind of guide us in the direction that we're going. And so when we put out opportunities for nonprofit organizations to bid on resources, we have them at the table. They got to be at the table, right? We can't do this work without passionate returning citizens who've lived this life. And to your other point, one of the things that we are building here in the county is this peer network. Right. So we need men and women who have been impacted by the justice system. We need them at the table when guys come home to give them some sense of what you're facing. We find guys don't even know how to use a cell phone and the laptop computers and tablets and all these different things. And so we recently issued a contract with a provider who's actually led by a returning citizen to give that training to show them how to use cell phones and computers and how to apply for a job online. I have guys say, well, every job, I can't just go knock on the door anymore to apply for a job. I got to do it on a computer, and I don't know how to even turn the thing on. And so we've established a system where they can come and get the training. It's at no cost to them. They can come in and get that training, and we can get them on their
way. This is for cell phones and computers?
It's a technology training, right? So all of the technology that you'll need to at least be familiar with when you come home, we're trying to provide that training. This is newly launched. I don't think we've got our first person yet, but it's on the it's in the works.
We'd like to discuss this with you a little further when we get off the air, because we got a program we've been working with called OA, Offender Anonymous, similar to AA and NA, and it deals with acclimating these guys. Because when I come out, I worked in a law library, and we used a typewriter. And when I came out of prison, I can type 35 words a minute. I'm looking for a typewriter, and there are no typewriter shops in the city.
Right.
So I asked them, where can I get a typewriter? They sent me to a pawn shop. I said, a pawn shop? They get a typewriter. So I walked in and asked for a typewriter, and the guy hollered in the back, "Hey, Joe, bring me them two pages and that VCR. We got a dinosaur up here."
Oh, my
God. I bought two typewriters. Then I ran into a problem of buying the ribbons. Mm-hmm. They don't make them anymore. Typewriters are non-existent, and most prisons haven't converted to computers inside of institutions. So just, again, being able to acclimate in the most basic kinds of ways, it's a problem. I like to flesh this out with you, because my main thing is, or one of the main things is, do you have vouchers? How can men and women find a place to stay? Because we get pressured every week. They need emergency housing. Guy there 30, 40, 50 years. Everybody in the family has died. He go to his neighborhood, and it's all strange. There's nobody that he grew up with is on that neighborhood. What did you do, or how do you assist men and women in that situation? Or can you?
So we have a network of transitional housing providers here in the county. It needs some work. We probably have five or six programs in the county that house men and women who have been recently released from incarceration. We recently issued grants up to $100,000 for these service providers to help them build their programming out. And then this is our new fiscal year. We plan to release that again to put more money into transitional housing so that we can kind of fill this gap. It's a big gap in the county. You know, I tell people all the time, I have family members who can't afford an apartment. They work every day, but the rents are so high in the area, they can't even afford it. So what happens for our returning citizen who's, you know, not gainfully employed, still working to get himself together? It's hard to do. And so we are putting money into our reentry transitional housing network. If you have someone, and we can talk about this some more, I don't like to compare it to the Ready Center in D.C. because I think that's a phenomenal program that launched. They're a one-stop shop. But we have one that's coming online, and that's the Bridge Center at Adams House. That's kind of our hub. That's where we want all the men and women to go.
And where is that located at?
That's at 5001 Silver Hill Road in Suitland, Maryland. It's about half a mile from the Suitland Metro Station, right on the same street, Silver Hill Road. We try to encourage all returning citizens to go there so they can get connected to the network of services that are provided. And so once you go to the Bridge Center, you can get connected to substance use and mental health services, transitional housing. They have transportation assistance. You can get linked into the peer network. Our employee, Prince George's, which is our workforce development arm here in Prince George's County, you can also connect with them through the Bridge Center. And so we're trying to get everyone there, and we're really trying to build out the services that are provided there so that we can have a brick and mortar place for people to go.
You know, I've been in this field for over 50 years, and to see this many programs in PG County and in D.C. working together to provide assistance, because when I came out, you couldn't get nothing. I mean, I grew up in segregated. It was segregated Washington. So we had less than we have now. So I just want to say that, what's the total population in your estimation of returning citizens living in PG County? Is it 20,000, 30,000? Anybody have a handle on how many who are currently residing in PG County?
You know what, Mr. Brown, we don't have a handle on the number. And part of that goes back to what you spoke about earlier. And I've been talking to our friends in D.C. A lot of gentlemen, men and women who've been incarcerated under D.C. code, when they get released, they don't have anywhere to go in D.C., so they come to Prince George's County.
Yeah.
We don't have a handle on that. But for us, it doesn't matter as much, right? If you live in Prince George's County, you are eligible for our services. We know the numbers are growing. And so we know every year close to 1,000 people are released from the Maryland Department of Public Safety and Correction Services. But that doesn't account for the men and women who are being released from the county detention center, right? Or federal facilities, or even from the state district, who migrate out to the county. So it's a moving target to get that number. And so I hate to quote a number because somebody will say, no, that's not right.
I know what you mean.
But I rather than focus so much on the number, I spent a career focusing on numbers. Right now, I want to focus on people and how we help people.
There you go. All right. This is our spring fun drive, and every year.
Summer.
See that? I know I need you for seven. What you say your name is, young lady? I've been taking that Prevagen to help improve my memory. I've been taking it for 2 weeks in the kitchen. And after 2 weeks, I can't even remember where I put it. I'm forgetting everything. You know what I mean? So I need you and Mertine to keep me on point. This is our summer spring drive. And we, in order to stay on the air, bring you these topics, our listeners have to support us here at the station. We are a non-commercial radio station. And without your support, we cannot exist. So we need you to dig deep in your pockets, your checkbooks, to help us out. You did a fantastic job during the last drive, our listenership. And believe me, folk, it's more crucial now than ever before. You can cash app us at $WPFWFM. You must add the FM and say what show you're talking about. And our show is Crossroads. If you want to be a sustaining member, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, and for you big spenders, you can put in 1,000 or a couple of thousand. Whatever you can give, we need it in order to bring this information. And it's ironic that the majority of our community, Mike, black community, 70% of us have a direct contact relationship with somebody in incarcerated or coming out, and we get phone calls from people inside of prison. So this show, Crossroad, keeps us on the point, and we need your help. So folks, dig into your pockets. Don't be mad. We need help to stay on the air. And the phone number to call is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893 or 1-800-222-9739. No amount is too small and no amount is too big. We need your help to keep bringing you the information that you need here on Crossroads. So please, we'll be coming back to you in a few more minutes.
And Vosh, can I add something to that, if I may? Because what other show does what you do, not just on WPFW Pacifica Radio, but all across the country? I mean, I'm just saying, you are one of the very few, the only one in this area that specifically 100% caters to the formerly incarcerated and incarcerated community. So y'all, come on, pick up those phones and donate to Crossroads. Vosh Brown has been in this for
16 years.
Like you said, you a dinosaur, dude.
That's right. I'm two dinosaurs, the left-handed and right-handed one.
let's help Crossroads meet that goal. And I'm not quite sure if I think the people are standing by at 202-588-9739. Also, if you're local, as you said, 1-800-222-9739 to go on and pledge that support to Crossroads so we can keep guests like Michael Williams and to the so many other guests that Vosh brings to the show. Back to you, Vosh.
And you can go back to Cash App, $WPFWFM. You must add the FM and say what show. Our show is Crossroads.
And put in your email, too, so that you know, they can know exactly who you are. So on the Cash App, email and Crossroads.
And I just want to mention that we've been getting donations and contributions from men inside of the institution, making 12 to 18 cents an hour. And the guy sent us a check for $25. I felt bad taking that kind of money because, hey, he needed just to survive and exist, but it shows you the need for our show that men and women inside of institutions are sending us that $3, $4, $5, $10 to keep us on the air. So we cannot exist without you. Please dig in deep. And if that ain't deep enough, go in your back pocket. If that ain't deep enough, go in the backyard. I know you got a jar hidden out there by the tree. And pull that jar and pull that old rusty, dusty money out and send it on into the station. Thank you. Now back to you, Mike. Do you have a voucher program over there? And do we have one in PG County where a man or a woman can get a voucher, take it to the landlord, and receive a room or apartment?
We do not have that, Mr. Brown. And that is, in fact, we just recently kicked off our reentry housing task force, where we have representatives from the county, from the state, from our nonprofit community to help us pull together the resources that we can apply for federal and state resources to do just that. The county is committed to providing support to our returning citizens. And again, that's one area that I think we need to do a lot of work in. And so hopefully in the next time I come on, I'll be able to report something positively about our progress towards providing permanent housing for returning citizens.
You know, you got a gentleman over there in your county, Calvin Hawkins. He's a returning citizen. I've been knowing him over 40 years.
He's my friend.
And it's really inspiring to see somebody who came from from where he came from to get to where he is now. And as I said at the top of the show, quite a few returning citizens are winning elections in local, state legislatures all over the country. And it has somebody like Calvin Hawkins working as diligently as he in the community. Then he reached back and brought in Eddie Mathis. And you got folk, man, who are well known all over this country working in PG County with criminal justice and returning citizens. And one of the things is, can you clear the issue about voting rights for people who have been in, got a felony conviction, they've been released? Can they participate and vote in local, state, or federal elections, or both?
I'm not an expert in this area, but I do believe that returning citizens can vote in Maryland. But I would encourage anyone who is a returning citizen in the state to just do a little Google search and to confirm that. But I do believe they can vote here.
You know, we found out that the Maryland legislature in March, a couple of months ago, is considering a bill to improve or let men and women vote who are on parole, because the law as it stands in Maryland, you can vote if you're on parole or probation. Now they're trying, I guess, moving where you're in, if you're incarcerated, there's only two states that allow you to vote while you're incarcerated. That's Maine and Vermont. 26 more states have improved the situation or climate that allow people to criminal records. But then there's caveats. You have to be off of supervision. You can't be in home confinement, et cetera. So there's still little things that need to be worked out. But we have a tremendous big population. When I ask the question of how many, nobody knows how many people in PG County have a criminal record or criminal conviction or just come home. And I know based on federal stats, it says that 7 out of every 10 black males have an arrest record or have a confrontation with the criminal justice system or been involved in it. So that means 70% of our population has a direct connection to the criminal justice system. So we have to be involved in politics in this election campaign, because all the laws that is used to send us to jail to let us out comes from the legislature. They come from people making the law. So we have to put people in power. And that's why I'm glad that we got Calvin Hawkins over in PG County who's doing that. Go ahead, Nikisha.
Okay, well, I just want to give just a little update. You know, with 10% of our goal, and Anonymous is just donated. So y'all come on and join Anonymous, and don't be anonymous. Let us know who you are so we can thank you on the air. I just wanted to go pipe that in. But Roachin and Michael, in terms of D.C., excuse me, in terms of D.C. persons who are scattered throughout the federal system, the D.C. code folk can vote while in prison, right?
They can only vote when they come out.
What is it that they can do? There's something.
The law was passed, and it was called Public Law -179 when Myron Barrett defeated Mayor Walter Washington. Arrington Dixon was on the city council, and he helped passed the bill that gave us the right to vote. And we used that law to get Myron elected in 94 when he came in. So if you come out of prison and you're a D.C. code prisoner, you can vote whether you're on parole, probation, electronic monitoring, halfway house or whatever. You can vote even though you're still under supervision. You can't vote while you're incarcerated.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. But I know we were registering them. So once again, I gotcha. All right.
There you go.
Lay it out there.
What would you have to say, Mike, to those people listening to the show, Mike, returning citizen and families of returning citizens? Because a lot of times we got to reach the families in order to reach them. So if the families are aware of what services are provided, because a lot of these men and women are afraid, reluctant, they're gun shy, they've been repressed and oppressed. So it's hard for them just to even communicate with somebody. So I don't know why I'm saying that. I know why I'm saying it. Getting ready to go into a break. This is Crossroads here on WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. Crossroads comes to you every Tuesday at 10 a.m. And our guest this morning is Michael Williams, the director of Returning Citizens Affairs Division of PG County. Let me ask you this, Mike. Are you a returning citizen? Have you been incarcerated too?
I have not.
You haven't? Have you had a brush in with the police or authorities?
I mean, as a black man grew up in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
I don't know how you can avoid that. I don't know. Some people may have, but I grew up in the 70s and 80s in D.C.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I have a good sense of what you're talking about.
You know, I was stopped by the police a couple of weeks ago, man, and I was scared to death. I mean, they pulled me over. When I saw that red light flash in the back of my in the rearview mirror, my bowels almost broke, man. That's how scared I was. Because I know now they go to the car and they got a computer. They punch your name in and your whole criminal record comes up on the screen. And when he came back to me, he called for backup before he came. And he looked at me and said, "It says you were convicted of murder. What are you doing in the street?" He said, "Life. But I got a presidential commutation. I was released by the president." It don't say it here on the screen. Get on the ground. Man, I was so scared. I thought I was dead. My record is 30, 40, 50 years old, but on a computer, I'm a dangerous individual. And you get pulled over. It is frightening, man, to be a black man in America. And I haven't broke the law. I've retired from that lifestyle. But to be pulled over by the police, and he reached, put his hands on his side by the gun, and I went to jail for murder. I was afraid to death. I had been that scared in a long, long time. And when he let me go, I pulled over. took me 15 to 20 minutes, man, to gather myself to get back. And every time I see a police car, even now, and I don't do nothing, I am afraid, man. When I see him pull a brother over, I try to stop or slow down and look. And if I got my camera, I'll put my camera on to record what's going on. Because we know at any moment, man, the situation can turn out of control. And we can lose our life for nothing as a black man.
As a black person in America. Yes, indeed.
You're right. You're right, Nikisha. Because a young lady, what her name, Sonya Massey.
Sonya Massey. Yes, indeed. I mean, you know, we talk about violence in the black community. We need to talk about police violence. And actually, we have someone here on the line who wants to just talk about this whole issue dealing with violence, just very, very briefly in an announcement that's going to be happening this weekend. Precious Mother Love, how are you?
One Love and Wellness, I'm doing well. Yes, we have Stop the Violence. Stop All Violence is one of our sponsors of our event. True Brothers and Sisters as well. And my company is Love Plus Art Equals Wellness. We have an event in PG County. It's to honor and celebrate Marcus Garvey, you know, who started the UNIA, and he's also been a part of the start of many of the movements that came after. But it's this Saturday from 3 to 10. We have a movie starting at dusk. It is a movie night. We will show the related information to as a movie. We also have a silent auction. It's an outdoor event, so fresh, healthy food, games truck, a silent family fun, wellness demos, clothing. We're raising money for three youth groups, two that are in Africa and one that's here in DC. We are warriors on the forefront. We're starting a movement. We're basically trying to say we're making each other, loving each other and celebrating our heritage.
Where's this event at? Where it at?
It's in PG County, 1311 Opus Avenue, celebrating our history, our heritage, and our future.
Is that District Heights? You say Opus Avenue. Is that District Heights?
Capitol Heights, Capitol right, Heights. On Opus Avenue, 1311, yes.
So, you know, Precious Mother Love, I know this is on the date of the birthday of Marcus Garvey. A lot of people don't know that Marcus Garvey was a prisoner himself, illegally and unjustly incarcerated. So it really fits in totally with this particular theme. So, thank you for this information. Is there a phone number that folks can call to find out more information?
Well, the invitation is on Eventbrite. Definitely look us up. And one of the numbers for Joe Martin, who is how you can get more information, 202-496-3897. That's on our flyer. We're giving away free trips. Join us. This is our redate, our third redate for the rain. March, we had started, we were doing one for another for Malcolm X. So, you know, we're giving our heritage and our culture a boost, trying to educate the youth. There's also a games truck there. Almost forgot that. So it's family friendly, and we want to be able to show ourselves love and to become proud of who we are, especially with Camilla up there now. You know, she's activated our black females, and we're rallying around her. She's a Howard grad, by the way.
That's right.
Are you a Howard grad?
I am not, but... I'm from D.C., and I've stomped those grounds a lot throughout my time. Yes.
There you go. Thank you, Mother
thank
Love.
Thank you, One Love, and thank you for your... And Max, this was my time slot when I was on WPFW. I had Black Beige and Brown Quintet, Katia Stitt and I. My time was Tuesdays from 9 to 11.
Oh, okay.
So I'm at home a little bit.
All right.
One Love, thank you so much.
Like they show to Roach and Gordon and call that number 202-588-9739 and donate so we can keep this on the air, so we can keep announcements like yours coming in, so we can have great guests like Michael Williams. WPFW is the station for public affairs, for jazz and what? Jazz and justice. Go on.
Right. Hey, Mike. Are you getting any support? What kind of support are you getting from the county, as well as the community? Because I know that we still got a lot of a long ways to go, man. A lot of folks, even our own people, really looked down on hard on folk with criminal records coming out trying to get back in into the mix. And what kind of opposition have you run or pushback have you run into in PG County trying to provide services to those people who need them?
I don't know if I've run into any opposition. County Executive Austell Brooks, she started this office as a result of a board that she and Councilmember Hawkins put together, the Reentry Advisory Board during the pandemic. That board came out with 47 recommendations on how we can strengthen our reentry system here in the county. And we've been steadfast in implementing all of them. One of those recommendations was the creation of my office. And so that was the first thing that she did, was to create our office and to bring me and my colleagues on board. And so we've gotten a tremendous amount of support from County Executive Austell Brooks, both financially as well as just being supportive. We have access to all of the county agencies who are, somehow touch returning citizens. One of the challenges we have is we recently launched a hiring incentive program where the county will reimburse private sector employers for hiring returning citizens. I don't know if it's opposition, but we're having a tough time recruiting businesses, and we want to encourage businesses who may be listening. If you are a Prince George's County business and you have returning citizens or you're interested in hiring returning citizens, I would please ask you to reach out to me directly to get you connected to this hiring incentive program. Another piece of support that we've got from the county was the Pathways to Government initiative, where the county government is leading the way in hiring returning citizens. So we launched this initiative last year, probably around the fall of last year, and we hired 10 returning citizens who had recently come home in various agencies throughout the county government to work. I mean, these are living wage jobs with benefits in the whole nine yards that we've been able to get guys and ladies into. And so we're getting a lot of support. We want to continue to build on it. And we want to reach out to our private sector, not the nonprofit, but our for-profit entities to help us to provide opportunities for our returning citizens.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Angela Austell Brooks initiating this program and getting it started. Her father, Mac Austell Brooks, is a good friend. We've been knowing Mac for about 40, 50 years. And it warms my heart, man, to see people that you've been knowing for years still in the trenches, still making things happen. Here we go, 45 years later, his daughter runs as a county exec, and she's doing what she can to make things better. And because, again, as I said, a lot of folk from our community don't see us the same way we see each other. And we got more opposition from our own than from people who are not with us, man. And I know I've been doing this for 50-some years, and to see this kind of support level programs is one of the things that came to me was that the program you mentioned before about hiring employees, is a $5,000 limit? Is that a grant or is that a tax credit that if somebody hire a returning citizen, they can get up to
$5,000? $5,000 per year for 2 years. So the total is really $10,000. And it's a cash reimbursement.
Explain what that is, please.
So if you hire a returning citizen, and the minimum salary that we would require for you to participate, a business to participate in the program, is $15 per hour. We will reimburse that organization five of the 15. And so we think that's pretty good.
That's great.
And businesses can save money, and they can reinvest back into the business. They can hire another returning citizen, right? Yeah. So now we've been working through some of the logistics of it. So far we have two businesses. We have an IT firm in Upper Marlboro who signed on, and we have another firm that's in the process of signing on, the kind of a government contracting firm that they're in the process. And so, but we are actively looking for businesses to sign on to this initiative so that we can get more men and women connected and hired in these jobs. And we have a lot of business, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and large businesses in the county. And so we really want to push to get them signed up for the initiative.
Hello, audience. You hear that? Please, there are so many businesses who are listening, and we know that you can hire returning citizens. So please contact us, contact Michael Williams. You can do it. We have to do it. Please hire our own.
Absolutely.
And again, we're going right back to this is that time of the Summer, this is our summer fund drive. And again, folks, we need your help, your support, and your financial assistance to keep bringing you shows like Crossroads. As Nikichi said, there's very few shows that deal with the topics we've been dealing with. We've been dealing with in 16 years. There's very few topics that we haven't dealt with. And we had a whole host of guests from Michael Eric Dyson, Judge Joe Brown, Jane Kennedy, you name them. We had everybody on this show in 16 years. And we always come to you with things from our heart. Ain't no jiggy boogie on this show. If you got some jiggy boogie, don't call and don't come. We got to keep it real. Because again, we got people's lives at stake, and you got men and women in prisons and institutions all over the country and around the world, Mike, listening. And would you believe that if we are going through hell, no matter where you are, whether you're in the Ukraine, whether you're in South America, people of color are in prison, the same rate we make up the majority of the prison populations all over the world where you find prisons and you got black people, even though we make up a smaller part of a segment of the population. So we need shows like Crossroads to keep bringing information to folks. So please reach deep into your pockets, pull your checkbook out. We need help to stay on the air. And we cannot do this without you. Two weeks ago, we broadcast live from Martha's Vineyard. A year ago, we broadcast live from New Orleans. Every time Martin and I go out of town, if it's that week we do our show, we would do our show from that particular city. So Crossroads is on the air. That's why it's called Crossroads Coast to Coast. We might be coming to your city real soon or real quick. But, folk, please, there's a line in the Bible that says, when you do this for the least of those, you do it for me, man. And I don't care what your religion is, that kind of stuff. We got to help those who need help. And we got so many people who are hurting and suffering. And this kind of information would help. This is public safety. The more returning citizens got jobs, the safer the community be. Right. And folks tell me, they don't want this guy here because he did this. It's not what you've done. It's what you've become.
So, you know, Roach.
Go ahead, Nikichi.
Roach, you knocked it out the park during the spring WPFW fundraising drive. I mean, you totally knocked it out of the park. So we need people to go on and dig deep back in those pockets today so that just show your love, not just show your love for this issue, show your love for Roach and Martin, who have been out there on the front lines on this issue year after year after year. 202-588-9739. Their operator standing by right now to take your pledge to this radio station so that we can keep public radio alive. 1-800-222-9739, because this is not just DC, this is not just across the country, this is across the world. Crossroads, yeah, coast to coast.
You know, we were in Martha's Vineyard with Nikichi last week. And folk came in from all over the country, judges, politicians, community activists, scientists, social workers. And they came from all over the country about this reparation town hall meeting that Nikichi organized. And we met some powerful people. And Crossroads now, every time we go out, we meet folk from different states, cities, and countries. So this show is getting a tremendous following. So please, people, we need you to listen, to tune in.
Wait a minute. We got a challenge up in here. Sonia from Gaithersburg, Maryland is challenging all those who work with alternatives to incarceration programs. She said that she did this for 20 years and witnessed many injustices. So Sonia is challenging all those who work with alternatives incarceration programs to donate to WPFW. Call 202-588-9739. Thank you, Sonia.
And the phone number to call, if you have a question or comment for Michael Williams, who is the director of the Returning Citizens Affairs Division in PG County, the phone number is 202-588-0893. This is for people to call in to answer the question. I'll get a little sideways. The number to call is 202-588-9739. Is that the number to call in?
That's the number to donate. Yes,
that's
indeed.
That's the number to donate. I'm talking about for calling in, for people to call
588-0893 to call in. Yes. To talk to our guest, Michael Williams. Yes.
There you go. My wife is helping me so much over here.
Wait a minute. Let's not get it confused, though, because I'm the one talking and people thinking I'm your wife, but you're looking at Martine on the screen.
Well, let me. I'm glad you clarified that, Nikisha, because I'm married.
I love you, Roach, though.
And we love you too, Nikisha. Hey, Mike, for people who are listening, what would you have to say to them? Who anybody would need your services, your assistance, and help? What would you say to them, and where would you direct them to go?
So thank you so much for asking that question, Mr. Brown. I think it's important because Prince George's County oftentimes gets a knock for not having services for returning citizens. I hear it all the time. There's nothing out in the county, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. So if there's someone who is a returning citizen or family member of a returning citizen and you need assistance getting connected to our network, you can call me directly at 240-419-7311, or you could call the Bridge Center, which again is located at 5001 Silver Hill Road in Suitland, and that number is 301-817-1900, and they can get you connected directly. If you call me, I'm going to direct you over there, but you can still call me to just talk through. I'll talk it through, because I think often, and I oftentimes get calls from family members because they don't know which way to turn, and I kind of, just like we're doing today, I give them kind of a broad picture of the landscape and what's available, and then I connect them to the Bridge Center, and then I'm the conduit, right? So if they go over to the Bridge Center, they call, and things don't work out, I tell them, call me back. Let's figure out what we need to do. The other piece that I do want to mention is that our workforce development arm here in Prince George's County, Employ Prince George's, they have a program called Pathways to Success.
Success.
And that program is uniquely designed for returning citizens to get them the skills that they need in order to be employable, marketable, and employable. And so we have men and women who come through there and they get their CDL license, they get the plumbing licenses and certifications, construction management, healthcare, whatever it is, Employ Prince George's has a program for that. And sometimes it can be, you know, it's a process, right? Because it's government and you have to go through the steps, but it's doable, and I see men and women do it all the time. And so I would encourage anyone who's looking for jobs or skills to contact Employ Prince George. You can always contact me and I'll direct you. But if you want to call Employ Prince George directly, the number is 301-618-8400. And they're located right where I am today. I sit at Employ Prince George's, so I could be closer to work. That's at 1801 McCormick Drive, and that's in Largo, Maryland.
Hey, Mike, one of the problems we notice that men face coming out and women is that there's no funds, there's no stipend. And then a guy did 50 years, and they gave him a $100 bill. And he haven't seen money in 50 years, and he took that $100 bill and rubbed it all around his neck, and he's smelling it. And he haven't seen money. Then he go into the store, and they tell him they don't accept cash. He didn't know what to do. He had a $100 bill, the first one he had in 50 years, and they told him they don't take money. He didn't know about debit cards and cash apps and that kind of stuff. So these kind of problems, is there any program that provide emergency stipends or help financial assistance for those men and women when they do come out?
You know, I don't, not that I'm aware of. I'm not a cash assistance program for returning citizens. You know, that's some states are doing that.
Yeah, get a loan, yeah.
We're starting to see that more and more, but that's not something that we've initiated here in Prince George's County.
Well, it's something we're going to suggest to Calvin. We had a show a few weeks ago about the high cost of telephones, and it's a $1.5 billion a year business. These two, three companies that manage the phone call. When I went to PG County over there to see somebody, okay.
Yeah, wait, Roach, I got to come in right now because we got some breaking news, okay?
Come on.
We got another anonymous donor from Jackson, Tennessee that says, love you, Crossroads. Thank you for all your good works. It's taken us over half of what we need. We still need to raise half of what Crossroads needs to raise. So again, call that number 2029. Excuse me. I'm so excited. 202-588-9739 to make that donation. Thank you, Anonymous. We had two Anonymous. Thank you, Sonia, challenging folk for the Alternatives to Incarceration programs. Y'all, come on, keep it going. Let's make sure that
we got a few minutes,
but
we can go. We got a few minutes. We can reach our goal. Come on, people. We need your help to keep us alive and on the air. So reach down deep in your pockets and your checkbooks. It ain't much we're asking for. Just to bring you some real information that you can use, and with no jiggy boogie included. So please, this is our last pitch for you to bring whatever.
Rose, we got $230 to go. I know somebody can do that. Someone could be a sustaining donor. What is it? $10 a month? I don't have that in front of me right
50,
now.
Whatever they want to give, Nikisha, they can give. Whatever they want to give, yeah. They can give. $50 a month, $100 a month. We're at that part of the show that we're running out of time. And we'll get back with you, Mike. We got some things we need to flush out, and you'll be back on the show. And I got a program with some stuff we can talk to you about that may be any help. Thank you.
Anytime.
Michael Williams, the director of the Returning Citizen Affairs Division of PG County, Maryland. And thank you, Mike. And we'll be in touch. And to all the folks that made a donation, thank you. But we need more. Even if we're off the air, you still can make a donation and identify the show Crossroads, and we'll get it. It don't come to me, Martina, and I just come to the station.
Thank you so much.
Or to Nikisha either. So remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas. And this is our theme song, Mike.
Before they notice me, seems like I got to do wrong. Oh yeah. Hey friends, we are back again. Mark your calendars. On Saturday, August the 24th, WPFW will host the 15th annual Blues Festival featuring Clarence the Blues Man Turner, Jim Bennett with Jesse Terrell, Stacy Brooks, Low Rent Quartet, Reggie Right Eye, and the Missing Pieces, all at Lamont's Entertainment Complex, 4400 Livingston Road in Indian Head, Maryland. Event time is from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, go to eventbrite.com and search WPFW. Why, you ask? Because WPFW is building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Believe that.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly five decades. We provide news, music worth listening to, and in-depth conversations about your community and the world. One of the many ways you can contribute is to donate a vehicle that you no longer need. Running or not, it can do wonders for WPFW. So donate it for a tax break for 2024. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The 20th anniversary of DC Jazz Fest happens August 28th through September 1st, featuring performances by Samara Joy, Jacob Collier, Stanley Clark, Emmett Cohen, Ron Carter, Diane Reeves, and more. Details at dcjazzfest.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
From Rahsaan Roland Kirk to Asada Shakur, WPFW has been your go-to for cultural and political education since 1977. Your contributions have allowed us to uphold the mission of liberatory media set forth by our founders. August 11th through the 24th presents another opportunity to support WPFW during our summer pledge drive. Donations can also be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come.
Hi, this is Robin Holden, the proprietor of Robin's Place. Every Friday evening from 7 until 10 p.m., Robin's Place is a mythical entertainment center consisting of four floors. On each floor of Robin's Place, we have rooms that are named after people who I think are icons in music, theater, and literature. We have the Nancy Wilson Room, the Joe Williams Room, the Gloria Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, the B.B. King Blues Room, the James Baldwin Library, just to name a few. Join me Friday nights from 7 until 10 p.m. as I take you on a musical journey you'll never forget. Robin's Place.